on the names of God, getting to know God through his names today. Chapter 6 of Judges, beginning at verse 1, we'll be reading through verse 24 as we hear the word of the Lord together. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza. It did not spare a single thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. And it was impossible to count the men and their camels, and they invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt, from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them out before you and I gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that his fathers told us about? And they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord said to him, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon answered, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "Well, if I have found favor in your eyes, then give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat from an ephah of flour and bread that he made without yeast. And putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and place them on this rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire flamed from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace," Jehovah Shalom. And to this day, it stands at Ophrah of the Abrazites. And here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it, shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us, your word that brings and speaks peace into the chaos of our lives. Your word that in the midst of all that we go through in the chaotic things of life, we hear you silently say, "Peace, be still." And those storms are caught, the storms are calmed, the wind around us subsides, and the waters are still. Father, I pray this morning in your presence, you know all that has been going around us this week. And Father, I pray that you would speak peace to us, the Lord of peace. to our hearts this morning and to our minds. And we thank you that you came to bring us peace through your Son, Jesus Christ. So bless your word to our hearts this morning, through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. There's an old song that says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." Maybe you've all heard that. And yeah, it's true. What the world needs is love. But, you know, I'd go beyond that and say what the world really needs now is peace. Peace in the midst of a chaotic world, in the midst of all that we've just gone through and are in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of a time when there's been racial unrest and rioting across our country, and a time of great chaos. We need peace. But how can we find peace in a world filled with enmity, strife, anxiety? There's a lot of things going on that make people anxious in these times. A lot of enmity in the world and a lot of strife. And how do we find peace in times like this? Well, the answer is found in Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who brings peace. Today, as we continue our series looking at the names of God, we come to that name, Jehovah Shalom, another name, one of the compound names of God. And this name is taken from Judges chapter 6, verse 24, which says, Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it, "The Lord is Peace," Jehovah Shalom. And this is another one of the names of God that was given to God by a person in reference to God's character and how he met the Lord in the Lord's encounter. It is another compound name. As we've already learned, the word Jehovah, meaning I am, or Lord, capital L-O-R-D, I am the one who is, and the word Shalom. The word Shalom there is what looks like in Hebrew. Often Hebrew Jewish people would greet each other with that name Shalom, and it basically means peace. But it means far more than that, as we'll discover. And when we think of the word peace, and we think of the word peace, what usually comes to your mind? Often when we think of peace, we think of absence of conflict, right? We think of someone's at peace or not fighting with each other anymore. When the world's at peace, there's no war, and there's no conflict, and there's no strife. And we long for a day when there'll be no more strife and conflict. And that really won't happen until the Prince of Peace comes. And we long for that day. But peace is more than just the absence of conflict and strife. That name, word Shalom, means far more than that, and it has a far deeper meaning. Shalom is so much more than peace. The word actually means, if you want to write this, some of this down for you, it might be good. It means to be sound, complete, finished, or whole. It brings a complete wholeness to you. It means a general sense of well-being and contentment. To have shalom, peace, what God wants to bring to us, it's that place of well-being. It's that place to know that it's well with my soul and I'm content no matter what goes on around me, no matter what I face. This applies in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, when it feels good and when it doesn't. It means wholeness, happiness, tranquility, security and safety, quietness of soul when you feel it and even when you don't. That's what the word shalom means. It's more than just an absence of conflict. It's that knowing that in the midst of a storm raging around us, we can still be at peace within. It does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. We all long for that, but that's not what peace means. It means to be in the midst of those things and still have a calmness in your heart. Shalom means that whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. To have the ability in your heart to be able to sing that song or say that to the Lord, Lord, it's well in my soul. No matter what the storm is raging around me, no matter what I find myself in, I can still praise you in the midst of it. It's still well with me. That's shalom. How do we get to that point? And that's what the world needs, right? We need that in the midst of a chaotic world around us to be able to say, Lord, it's fine with me. It's well in my heart. I'm at peace. And I can rest in you. And those waves can be around me. And my sea is calm in my heart. Because I've got peace like a river in my soul. Contentment, well-being. That's what we want to discover this morning through the name Jehovah Shalom. Chapter 6 of Judges, the Lord appears to a man named Gideon. We looked at his story before when we had discovered and we were talking about the lives of the judges, and we looked at his story. But before we learn a little bit deeper about how we get peace and how our Lord is peace and what it means for us, we need to discover a little bit of the context. The background for Judges chapter 6 is in Leviticus 26. In Leviticus 26, God, in the law through Moses, told Israel that I'm making a covenant with you. And if you keep my covenant and follow me faithfully as your God, I will provide for you and you will live, your land will be prosperous. It will be well for you. All will go well for you. I will give you victory over your enemies. Your land will be prosperous. It will be blessed. And you will have well-being. You will live in peace. But if you reject me and you disobey, I am going to allow enemies to come in and oppress you and overtake your land. And there's going to be suffering and there will not be well-being in your life. And things will not go well for you because you have disobeyed. And God gave them that warning. Well, we get to chapter 6 and we see the verse right before. In 31 of chapter 5 tells us that the land had been in peace for 40 years. Judges was a time that we had learned that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There was no king. And even though God was their ruler, they didn't follow him. And they would fall away from the Lord and they'd cry out to him and God would allow them to be captured. They'd cry out to the Lord. He'd send them a judge. And as long as the judge was living, as you know, they would follow. Well, now this was right after the time of Deborah. And Deborah had given deliverance. And now for 40 years after her time, there was peace. But then Israel began to fall away from the Lord again. And he allowed the Midianites to oppress them. And for 7 years, they oppressed them. And it said, so oppressive were they that every time they would come at harvest time, and when the crops were ready to be harvested in, the Israelites would work all harvest season to prepare the soil and the crops. And it came time for the harvest, Gene, and as they were ready to harvest it in, the Midianites would come in and ravage the land and take it for themselves. And all the work that they did was gone. It left them totally destitute, totally impoverished, and the land an impression. And they were suffering. That word, it says they ravished the land. And Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so God, as a result, gave them over to their enemies. And the entire land was in ruins. It says here that because of the oppression, verse 2, they hid themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Because of the suffering, because of the oppression, because it got so bad, they were terrorized. They were being terrorized by their enemies, and they hid in caves, clefts, and strongholds. Get that. Instead of running and hiding in the cleft of the rock, they ran and hid in the rocks. And it showed how far away from the Lord they had fallen. And the result was fear and anxiety. They lost their peace. They lost that sense of peace and well-being. And they were brought low. It says Israel was brought low. They were so impoverished. And that word impoverished means they were destitute. They had to live like a beggar. And the children of the king were living in the land of milk and honey, totally destitute like paupers because of their rebellion and because of their disobedience. Now I ask you something. Does that sound familiar? Here they were, a nation that was founded by God, had everything promised, provided for them. And God said, if you're faithful to me, you will be blessed and prosperous. But if you turn away from me, your land is going to suffer as a result. Where are we today? People today don't have peace. Because why? We have forsaken the Prince of Peace. And we find ourselves much in the same situation that Israel found themselves in Judges chapter 6. A lack of peace, living in fear, living in anxiety, hiding in a rock because they don't have that well-being in their heart because we've rejected the Lord. That's where they were. That was the situation that was going on in Judges chapter 6. So what happened? In that situation, a lack of peace, living in fear and anxiety, being brought low and destitute, they cried out to the Lord. But notice something, and this struck me this week. Notice something in verse 7. They cried out to the Lord because of their impoverishment, because of their lack of fear. But what did they cry out? Why did they cry out to the Lord? That's a key in understanding how far they had fallen. Because it says, Israel cried out to the Lord because of what? Get that. Because of the Midianites. There's a key there that the Lord's telling us. Not because of their sin. They didn't cry out to the Lord seeking him. They cried out to the Lord because they were being oppressed by their enemies and they wanted relief out of their trouble. Don't we see that today with a lot of people? We get in a mess that we ourselves cause. And then we cry out to the Lord, Lord, get me out of this mess. But they don't acknowledge, Lord, I'm responsible for it, or confess their sin. They just cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, because of their oppressors. But the Lord was merciful. God in his mercy often does not give us what we deserve. We as a nation crying out to the Lord, if he gave us what we deserve right now, but we can cry out to him and he is merciful. And so they cried out and he responded. And he responded by sending a prophet. And the prophet told them that God had spoke to his word and gave you this back in Leviticus chapter 26. This is what I did. I brought you out of Egypt and established you as my own. And if you follow me, you will be blessed. But you have disobeyed me and you brought this on yourself, basically, he said. You didn't listen to the Lord. So then they cried out to the Lord again, and the Lord sent an angel, his angel, the Lord himself, the angel of the Lord, a reference to Jesus himself, then came and visited a man named Gideon. And that's where our story continues. That he came, appeared to Gideon while he was threshing his wheat in a wine press. Why is that important? Because you don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You thresh wheat in the top of a hill. When you throw it up in the air and separate the wheat from the chaff is blown away and the good stuff falls back down. But doing it in a wine press is down in the hole in the ground. And doing it there, it's all going to fall back on your head. But he was doing that because he was again living in fear and anxiety because of his oppressors. And in that place of fear and anxiety, the Lord met him. And the Lord said, Gideon, I am with you and I am sending you to bring deliverance. And Gideon said, what? Who, me? You got the wrong person. But in that midst, in that encounter with the Lord himself, Gideon then found peace and discovered where real peace lied. And at the end of this encounter, he built an altar there where he met the Lord and said, the Lord is peace. And that altar served as a reminder of God who brings peace and well-being to our life. And the writer of Judges said, and it serves as a reminder to this day that all who went by and saw that altar, it reminds it that the Lord is peace. And he is our source of shalom and well-being. So with that background, into chapter 6, let's discover together a few things on how we have peace. First, we have peace when we walk in his ways. We had seen that Israel had rejected the ways of the Lord. Verses 1 to 10 told us that. I just reviewed it. But if they walked away from the Lord, they didn't do what was right in his eyes. They didn't live in obedience. They didn't follow his word. He sent the prophet to remind them, you didn't follow my word. They did evil in his eyes. They did what was right in their own eyes, they thought. And because of that, they were in fear. They were in chaos. They were in anxiety. And they did not have peace or well-being in their heart because they were not living in obedience to God. You know, that's so true in our life too. Sometimes our soul is conflicted within. Sometimes it's not well with our soul, and we don't have that peace and quietness in our heart because we aren't walking in His ways. And that's where we need to listen to His voice again and say, Lord, am I living according to what You want me to? Am I doing what is right in Your eyes? If you don't have a sense of peace in your heart, ask yourself, Lord, is there something I've done or a way I'm living that is not right to You or Your word? Am I not following Your word fully? Am I not listening to You, my shepherd, and following as You lead? Because we will only have peace when we live and walk in His ways. Nothing more miserable than a Christian who is out of fellowship with the Lord. It's only when we're in fellowship with Him we have that peace and contentment in our heart. We know that we can truly say it as well. And things are good because we're walking in His way. How about you? Are you walking in His step? Secondly, we have peace when we recognize His presence. In the midst of this anxiety that was plaguing the nation, the Lord appeared. The angel Himself, God, Christ Himself, came and sat down and appeared to Gideon. And the first thing He said was, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The Lord, I'm right here. The Lord is with you. I'm here. And Gideon said, but sir, if the Lord is really with us, if He is really here, and he didn't believe He was, but he said, if He is really with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are the wonders that our fathers told us all about? And didn't the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now He's abandoned us. He's left us on our own. This oppression, this trouble has come. We're living in fear. We've gone through hardship. We've gone through a pandemic. We've gone through all this. And where's the Lord in the midst of it? A lot of people feel that. Where is He? He's abandoned us. And that's what Gideon said. The Lord was right there, but he said, where is He? I don't see Him. He's not here. And because of that, he didn't have peace. But when we recognize that He is present with us, that peace is in our heart. Remember the story of the disciples when they were with Jesus in the boat. They were going across the Sea of Galilee. And a storm came up one night, which often happened on the storm, that lake. It was very prone for storms. And this terrible storm came up. And it said that it would beat against the boat and the waves, and the boat was being tossed back and forth. And the disciples thought they were going to drown. They thought they were going to go under. They thought it was it. They thought it was done. It was curtains for them, they thought. But here, Jesus was sleeping in the boat. The Lord was present with them in the boat. But remember the disciples? They cried out and they woke Him up. And they said, Jesus, don't you care? We're going to drown. We're going to die. And Jesus was present there. But the Bible says, when He awoke, He rebuked the storm and He said to them, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was calm. And He said, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Who? And the men said, who is this that even the wind and the waves and the sea obey Him? But He said, peace, be still. And at that moment, the storm ceased and the winds died down and all was calm because Christ was present with them, but they didn't recognize it. We can be that way in the midst of the storms and chaos around us too, that the Lord is present with us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. But yet that's what Gideon said. He said, you abandon us, but the Lord never will. And the disciples thought Jesus abandoned them, but He said, peace, be still. He said, peace, be still. And the wind stopped and the waves stopped. But then He said, think of it this way, peace, be still, and realize I'm with you. He said, peace, be still, and the storm stops, but peace, be still, and realize you're in my presence. Psalm 46 says, be still and know what? That I am God, and I am with you. Acknowledging His presence and realizing He doesn't abandon us and gives us that sense of peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, in nothing be anxious. The opposite of shalom and peace is anxiety. And that's where a lot of people are living. And instead of nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Will stand guard there. So let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, for indeed you were called to that. When we recognize his presence, we have peace. Third, we have peace when we acknowledge our sin. Notice again in verse 13, when the Lord said to him, I have sent you, he said, but sir, if God is really with us, then why has this happened to us? Why have you abandoned us? And Gideon questioned God about the problems that the nation faced that they themselves caused. And he saw, and he basically accused God. He said, you abandoned us and you left us on our own and you brought this calamity on us. And notice he didn't acknowledge the fact that they had disobeyed the Lord. And that can happen in our life. Sometimes we don't have peace in our heart because we don't acknowledge our own sin. We don't acknowledge when we have rebelled against the Lord. And we may be living in disobedience and we don't acknowledge that. And we're suffering as a result of it. God's disciplining us as a result of that. And we blame God. And that's why we're not at peace. We're at peace when we get to that point and we acknowledge that it's because of us. He accused God of abandoning them. And we don't have peace when we are in the same. Fourth, we have peace when we see him for who he really is. Not only knowing he's with us, but knowing who he really is as the Lord. When the Lord speaks to him, it's the angel of the Lord God, Jesus himself, came and sat with him. And he said, the Lord is with you. I'm here. Notice in verse 13 how he answered him. He said, but sir, he called him sir, S-I-R. In Hebrew, that's the word Adonai with a little A. It basically means sir, Lord. He called it a title of respect. It would be the same as saying Mr. or Miss. And it was a title of respect. And he said, and he showed him that, but he didn't really acknowledge him as the Lord. And he didn't realize it was the Lord himself with him. And the Lord continued to speak to them, and he answered, I am with you. And I will use you to strike down the Midianites. And he said, well, if I found favor with you, then give me a sign to see that it's really you talking to me. Show me who you really are. Let me see you who you really are. He said, stay here till I go get an offering and come back. So he prepared an offering of unleavened bread and meat and some broth. And he put the unleavened meat, the Lord said, put the unleavened meat and the rock and the meat on the broth on the rock and pour out the broth at the bottom. And Gideon did so. That was a picture of something. Because Gideon built the altar of the Lord there. And the meat and unleavened bread were placed on the altar on the rock. And the broth was poured out at the base of the altar. Now, what's that a picture of? Fire came and consumed up the meat and the bread, completely consumed it. The broth was poured out. Does that remind you of something? What was the Lord showing Gideon here? He was showing him that he was the bread of life, and his body that was going to be broken and on the altar of sacrifice. And his blood was going to be poured out through his body broken and consumed. Through his blood poured out, there was going to be a way to have peace. There was going to be a way that we could have peace with God and have peace within our heart. And he showed Gideon who he really was here. And Gideon got a picture of Christ. For real peace is brought to us only through him. Isaiah in verse 9, verse 6 says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 53, 6 says that, by his stripes we were healed, and the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 20 says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the cross, in earth or in heaven, by making peace with his blood shed on the cross. And Ephesians chapter 2, 14 through 16 says, "For he himself is our peace. For he has made the two one and broken down the middle wall of separation and abolished in his flesh the enmity," that is the law, the commandments contained in the ordinances, "and to create in himself one man out of the two, thus making peace, that in him he might reconcile to them both God and one body through the cross, putting to death the enmity." So the Lord showed himself who he was through that sacrifice, showing us that he indeed is the one who brings peace. When we discover Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and know him for who he really is, and experience him in our life as Lord and Savior, that's where peace is found, right? That's where we have forgiveness of sin, and the peace with God is made, the war is ended, and we can truly say, "It is well with my soul." And we will not get to that peace until we discover who Christ is and have that relationship with him. Fifth, we have peace with God when we trust him fully. God said to Gideon in verses 14 through 16, he says, "I am sending you to take care of Midian. Go in the strength you have and redeem Israel out of Midian's hand. And he says, "But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Egypt, Manasseh. I'm the least in my family. I can't do it." And he says, "I will be with you. I will strike the Midianites down," the Lord's word. And he says, "Well, if I've really found favor with you, give me a sign that it's really you." He basically made excuses, and he saw his own shortcomings and he saw his own weaknesses and failed to see how God could use him and work through his life. And he didn't have faith to believe fully at this point. God was going to have to continue to work in Gideon's life, as we know, to get him to that point where he would trust him fully. And it wasn't until that point that he trusted him fully that he had that full peace. And when we have distrust the Lord fully in our life, we get to that place of peace. And last, peace is found when we receive his favor. Gideon, when he realized that he had seen the Lord face to face, he cried out in fear. And he said, "Oh, I have seen the Lord face to face." And he thought he was going to die, because they knew the word of God said, anybody that sees God to their face will be put to death. And he was afraid, "I'm going to cry out, I'm going to die. I've seen the Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Don't be afraid. You're not going to die. Peace. You have favor with me." And he had favor with him. The same as Mary, whenever she saw the angel of the Lord, angel appeared to her, and she was afraid, and he said, "Peace, you have found favor with God." And we have that favor with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And Gideon had that place of peace. So our Lord Shalom is here this morning to give us peace, and that is what we need in the midst of anxiety and fear out there. But it can only be found in him, because if we know Jesus, we will know peace. But notice inside of that, know Jesus. Without Jesus in our life, there is no peace. Because he is Jehovah Shalom. He is peace, the one who brings it to our life. He is the peace that passes all understanding, that the world cannot understand and comprehend, how we can say, "It is well with our soul," in the midst of a world where things are out of control. Because the world cannot understand that peace, because they don't know it. They can't say it's well with them. But we can, because of our Lord, praise God, and who he is and what he's done for us. So our Lord is Jehovah Shalom, here to give us peace when we walk in his ways, when we recognize his presence with us, when we acknowledge our sin, when we see him for who he really is, when we trust him fully, and when we receive his favor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our peace. You speak peace to our troubled souls. In the midst of hard times and in the midst of good times, our peace is not based on the circumstances around us. It's based on you, because peace is found and grounded in you, but is also a fruit of your spirit that you produce within us. That we can say, it is well. We can sing that no matter what our lot in life, no matter what we are going through, because it's not based on any circumstance. We don't have to hide in a cleft of it. We don't have to hide in a rock or a cave and cover ourselves and cower in fear in time of anxiety and the storms around us. We don't have to do that because we, instead of hiding in the caves, in the clefts, we hide in the cleft of the rock, and you cover us there with your hand. And there we are kept in peace in the midst of all the storms around us. So thank you that that is found in you. You, the Lord, are peace. Jehovah Shalom. You bring that state of well-being to us. Peace with you, because our sins have been forgiven through Christ. Peace with others, because as we walk in your ways and we acknowledge our sin, we do and seek to live in that way of grace to others. And peace within ourselves, because we know that it is well and we are in your hand and you are caring for us. So Father, thank you for all that you've done and continuing to do, as we give you praise, as you continue to reveal who you are through your wonderful names and how you are at work within our lives each day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, the God of peace. In his name we pray. Amen.